We're talking about how to treat one another as Christians in the same church family when we disagree with one another, okay? You've probably seen that you disagree with people right here, okay? And that's I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. We've been talking about this for a while. We know there's disagreements about all these different issues that are dividing our nation. But what brings us together is that we all have the same goal. It's not, the goal isn't to agree with one another on these issues. The goal that we have is to honor Christ, to live according to God's will, to represent Jesus well in the way that we act when we disagree with one another. And from my observations, this is both general Christian world and East Lincoln, this is an area where we need to grow, where we have struggled a little bit and can use some instruction from the Bible. And I knew, you know, I knew going into this chapter what it was talking about and what our situations were, and as uncomfortable as it can be to dive in here, I think it's necessary and helpful to kind of deal with it when things are hot, okay? So, we're going to be looking this week. Last week, I talked about how there's kind of three sets of instructions that Paul gives. Last week, we looked at the first set of instructions, which basically said, any divisive behaviors you're doing, you need to stop. And he talked about the not welcoming people. You know, that's the implication of avoiding people because they disagree, or quarreling with people. We talked a lot about Facebook last week. Also, despising and passing judgment on people. That's where we're going to land for most of the time today. So he talked about that last week. Those behaviors, we need to just stop doing them, okay? Identify behaviors that are causing division and stop doing them. It's not that we can't talk about these issues, but we need to be very careful about how we do that when people disagree with us. So that's last week. This week we're going to look at the second set of instructions. Next week we'll look at the third. All three of these are very important. They all go together. They all went in the same thought pattern and the same chapter as Paul was writing, and so you shouldn't take one of these sermons or one of these passages and separate it from the rest, because they all tie together, and there are things that we have to really think through in how we respond to each other that have to do with all three of these sections. So we're looking at the middle one today, and this is, as I said, this section has to do with passing judgment on people who disagree with you. And I want to talk about what that is, kind of what it looks like, how we end up doing it, so that we can guard against it. That's kind of the point that he makes in here, is to guard against that kind of behavior. Oftentimes, I think we do it without even knowing it. Okay, we end up passing judgment. I'll talk about what that means later. We do that without even knowing it when we feel strongly about something. Okay, so when our personal convictions or our perspective opinions are very strong about a certain subject, we can end up saying things and doing things and acting in a way that actually is passing judgment on other people who don't agree with us. And I think we aren't always thinking about what we're saying, because it can cause that to happen. But Paul could see that it was happening in the churches that he worked with and in this church in Rome. And I can definitely see it happening among Christians in our current situation as well. So we have all these issues that we're dealing with, and people feel passionately about the side of the issue that they have landed on. And in their zeal, in our zeal, we can go too far. So I have a high school friend who on Facebook, and I went back to his page and I was looking at it this morning, he's been posting all kinds of comments that make it very clear that he despises our current president. So I'm going to share an example on this side, an example on the other side. He despises our current president. That's fairly normal, I guess. You know, a lot of people are there, no matter who's president, actually. So now it's fairly normal, but any presidency, there's a lot of people that despise whoever the president is. And that's normal. But one day I noticed that he took his feelings kind of to the next level and decided to publicly announce on Facebook that he was considering ending his friendships with anyone who voted for Trump. Okay, so I was like, whoa, that took it to the next level. He couldn't understand how a true Christian could vote for Trump. Like, voting for him was too much of an egregious sin for him to handle, and continue to associate with people. And so I was really taken aback by how far he went with his personal convictions. Now let's talk about the other side, another example. In a similar situation that I saw on Facebook, this is somebody I don't really know. He's from another state. Had the total opposite perspective. So this person believed that our president is God's way of intervening in America to bring healing and awakening to our land. So completely different opposite perspective. Both of these guys would call themselves Christians, completely different opposite sides of this issue. And this person's view can also be fairly common, where you know you're praying for healing, you see some of the things going on, you think this Trump must be, you know, God's answer here. That can be common. But this person also took his feelings to the next level and stated these things, and these are quotes. "Your vote in the upcoming election clearly indicates before God himself whether you side with his agenda or that of the enemy. It's a key demonstration of where you choose to stand spiritually. God is watching who you will choose, him or the devil." Okay? So next level, it's like, wow. Okay? So you can see in both of these examples, Christians landing on completely opposite sides, doing basically the same thing, and creating complete division. Okay? Now, I don't know that I've seen that blatant of behavior among us, but I think most of us, and I'll certainly admit to my own heart and attitudes, that I can harbor that kind of feelings toward people, whether it's these issues we're dealing with now or other issues where it's like, man, if you land there, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with you, okay? I think if we're honest with each other, we kind of go there with some things, okay? Or we really struggle with people who don't land where we land on issues that Christians disagree about, okay? I'm hoping that as you heard those examples, there's something about them that's troubling to you about both of them, no matter where you're at politically. Okay, there's something about them that goes too far. And it veers off course and no longer represents Jesus well. Both of these people obviously have very strong convictions, strong personal convictions about who to vote for, in this example, in the upcoming election. But rather than keeping that a personal conviction, they've turned their personal conviction into a new standard of righteousness for every Christian to follow. And both of them did it. The only way a Christian can be right before God is if they vote for the candidate that I believe they should vote for. Those who don't are wrong and guilty and will incur God's judgment, is kind of the attitude. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us which candidate or party to vote for that I can find. No matter how much you or I may think it does, and I know wonderful Christians from our church who land in different places in what they believe God's leading them to do. And they have prayed about it. They believe God is leading them one way or the other. Who to vote for, in my mind, is a matter of personal conviction. It's an important issue, and we'll talk about that more, how important that is, but with some people, it's being treated like it's a clear biblical mandate for all to follow. Who to vote for, like these two examples. I've seen a similar attitude when it comes to wearing masks. Okay, so again, I'm not going to avoid the touchy subjects here. So when it comes to wearing masks, there are people who land on different sides of the issue and have very strong convictions and turn those personal convictions into basically biblical mandates, standards of righteousness that everyone has to follow. And if you don't follow, you don't agree with me, then I just can't handle being around you, okay? I see it with masks. I see it in how people respond to COVID. There's very different ways that we respond to COVID, whether it's the mask thing or how we respond to the government or whatever, what we even think about the issue. I see it in responding to the race issues in our nation. Like, I haven't met with anyone who doesn't believe that racism is wrong. But I've met with a lot of people who have very different views about the issues of racism. And we don't agree with each other in those areas. And I've seen in all of these how people will feel very strongly about their view, and they have a strong personal conviction, and it goes next level, and it becomes a standard then that everyone else has to follow if you're going to be a good Christian, basically. It's so divisive. It's so divisive. And I go back to what I talked about last week. Like, is it worth it? Okay, are our personal convictions about these important matters, which they are very important, is it worth it to divide over? Last week, I showed you why I think it is not, and I'm still there this week. I don't think that these are worth dividing over. So, as we deal with these attitudes of kind of passing judgment, and I'll define that a little bit more, what ends up happening is it doesn't matter what you do. People are judging on both sides of these issues. So if you land on this side, you're condemned by this side. And if you land on this side, you're condemned by that side. It doesn't matter what you do. You're condemned. And do any of you like being in that position? Like, it kind of stinks, right? It's like, oh. And that's why it's hard to preach about these things. And why I try to not tell you exactly where I land. Because it's like, oh. But I also realize by not telling you where I land, if you're over here, you think I'm over here. And if you're over here, you think I'm whatever. You know, it's just, it's like, man, let's all get along here. I think we can. And yeah, it's just tough because it feels like you're condemned no matter what you do. Christians have landed on both sides in their own personal convictions, but rather than leaving it at that as, well, we disagree. And then, rather than leaving it at that, many have turned their personal convictions into new moral standards for everyone else to follow. And I'm not saying that many in our church have done that. I'm saying many in general. But I think in our hearts, that's the tendency that we lean towards. If you agree with me, you're right and innocent before God. But if you disagree, you're wrong and guilty before God. Okay, this is so destructive in a church family. In today's passage, we're going to see what Paul thinks about it. He doesn't think very highly of it. We're going to see what he would instruct us to do instead of doing that. And in our situation, again, we might not find ourselves as extreme as the examples that I shared, but we can easily have this similar underlying attitude toward people who disagree with us. It's something we really need to guard against and put to death and learn how to do that. That's going to help us to treat one another in a way that Christ would want us to do when we disagree. So Paul's going to help us do that today. Let's, if you're not there already, Romans chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 3. We're going to go through verse 12, I believe, this morning. I just want to start out with verses 3 and 4, talk about those, and then we're going to work through this in three sections. So verses 3 and 4, Paul writes this. Let not the one who eats meat, despise the one who abstains from eating meat, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Okay, so let's talk about this situation. As I've mentioned in previous weeks, some of the people that Paul was writing to had the strong personal conviction that they were not supposed to eat meat. Okay, and it was a faith issue, it was a relationship with God issue. They were not supposed to eat meat. Here in verse 3 that we just saw, we can see that one of the major problems in the church is that those people were passing judgment on those who were eating meat. Okay, so if you're eating meat, they're passing judgment on them. And as I looked into what it meant to pass judgment, because I wanted to get an accurate understanding of what this means, it became clear to me that it meant they were determining that the people eating meat were guilty before God. Okay, that's what passing judgment is. They're determining the people eating meat were guilty before God. They believed they were doing something wrong and sinful by eating meat. So these had a strong personal conviction, and that conviction was fine for them to have. Paul doesn't argue against that in this passage. It's fine for you to have that conviction to not eat meat. The problem is that they were turning it into a biblical standard of righteousness for everyone else in the church to follow, and then they were passing judgment. They were condemning those who didn't agree with them. And so Paul confronts them about that, and he does so because God's actually done the opposite. Because God has welcomed them. You're passing judgment on those whom God has welcomed. So he confronts them. God has welcomed the person who eats meat. God has welcomed them. That means they've been reconciled to him. They've been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. And it didn't have anything to do with them eating meat or not eating meat. They were reconciled to God through Jesus. And salvation and God's welcoming of them happened because of what Jesus did in his life, death, and resurrection. Therefore, eating meat had no effect on their righteous standing before God. It had no effect on God's welcoming of them. God had welcomed them. So Paul tells those who were passing judgment to not pass judgment on those who eat meat. They're not guilty. God has welcomed them and they're free to eat. So personal convictions are a good thing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get to verse 5. Each person, it says, should be fully convinced in their own mind. I think that's talking about convictions. They're a good thing, but when something isn't clearly or consistently taught in Scripture, we can't turn our personal convictions into new biblical standards of righteousness. We just can't. We can't do it, or we cause all kinds of problems. Okay, these things, if they're not clearly and consistently spoken of in Scripture, we can't turn them into Scripture. We can't condemn people as being wrong and guilty before God when they don't land on the same side as us. And it's really easy to think that way when we feel very strongly about something. So if you believe what Paul's saying, if you believe you shouldn't eat meat, that's fine. But don't pass judgment on those who do. Don't turn your convictions into a new standard of righteousness. So I ask you, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to ask you this morning, shouldn't we have that same attitude when it comes to who we decide to vote for? How about whether or not we should wear a mask? Can we feel strongly about these issues without passing judgment on those who disagree? How about what we think about racial issues in America? Again, I'm not talking about the sin of racism. I found universal agreement about that. I'm talking about the how you view racism, you know, how you view the whole, you know, systemic racism thing, you know, can be two-sided, like all the different issues. Should we have that same attitude when it comes to that? I've seen people turning their personal convictions into biblical requirements in these things, and not necessarily here, but just generally, and then passing judgment on those who disagree with them. And it's so damaging to relationships. It's ruining relationships in families. It's ruining relationships in church families. It is fine to have strong convictions about these things, and it's fine to share those convictions with others and even debate without quarreling. Even debate your perspectives and try to, you know, sharpen one another. But it's not okay to condemn those who disagree. Paul further confronts this behavior in verse 4, which I think is still up there, by asking them, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? And he's implying they don't answer to you. They answer to God, and it's before God that they stand or fall. And he explains this in the following verses then by bringing up another divisive issue in their situation. So let's look at verses 5 through 9 now and just see what Paul says in these. He says, one person esteems, so it's not just the eating meat and not eating meat issue. Here's another one. One person esteems one day as better than another day, while another esteems all days alike. Each one, wherever you land, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both of the dead and of the living. So when we pass judgment on fellow believers for not agreeing with our convictions, we're putting ourselves in a position that only belongs to Jesus. So look at these verses. They're up here. Look at these. Notice how many times Paul refers to Jesus as Lord in these verses. I think in verse 6, the honor of the Lord. Again, in honor of the Lord. He gives thanks to God while the one who stands in honor of the Lord. And then you get to verse 7. I don't think he says it there. Verse 8, we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord, we are the Lord's. That he might be Lord. It's 7 times. I think he's trying to make a point. Okay, he just keeps going back to talking about the Lord. The Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay? Jesus is, and that's a sense of he is your master. He's the one you answer to. And when it comes to personal convictions, he's the one that we answer to, all of us. That's why personal convictions are very important. But we have to remember that other people's personal convictions, they don't have to answer to you. They have to answer to their Lord, who's Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes what the Lord leads people to do isn't the same thing. It doesn't always mean that we're going to agree. Each of us answers to Jesus, and for that reason, it's not our place to turn our personal convictions into biblical standards and pass judgment on those who disagree with us. Now, when something is clearly and consistently taught in Scripture, and it is actually a biblical standard that we agree on, well, then that's where it's clear, and we can hold people we can hold one another accountable. Like that's spoken of in other places in Scripture where that's a good thing to do. You know, if somebody is sinning against the Lord against a clear and consistently biblical standard, then we can talk to them about it and call them to agree with us if we're on the same page as Scripture. But even that is difficult because as you look in Scripture, Scripture was written by like 40 different authors in 40 different situations and cultures and contexts, and what was forbidden in certain situations wasn't forbidden in other situations. So it takes careful Bible study. You can pull a verse out of some places and say, oh, it's biblical, my view's biblical, it says it right here. But if you turn the page a few more pages, it's not prohibited over here. And so it's like, well, you can land on both sides. Like, just be careful about interpreting Scripture, but there are certainly areas that are clear and consistent throughout all of Scripture. Those we should agree on. We need to call one another to agree on those things, but where it's not clear and consistent, that's where it enters into this area of personal convictions. So, we answer to Jesus for our personal convictions, and we don't turn them into biblical standards and then pass judgment. So instead, what Paul calls us to do in these verses up here on the screen is, he says, be fully convinced in our own minds. Be fully convinced. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And that doesn't mean you should be fully convinced that you're right and everyone else is wrong. It's not what he's saying. He's saying each one should be fully convinced in his mind that whatever you do is done in honor of the Lord. You know what? If that was our standard, that we all, then that would change things. Okay? That would change things. And if I can give you the benefit of the doubt and cut you some slack and trust that, hey, if you go before the Lord and you're praying and you're asking Him about what to do, and you and I land here and you land here, you know what? I trust that God's leading you, and that's fine, even if I disagree with you. Personal convictions are very important, and that's something that all of us needs to take into consideration. That's what I think Paul is saying here. He says, whatever you do, do it in honor of the Lord. He says in verse, He says in verse 6, if you observe one day as better than the rest, do it in honor of the Lord. He doesn't say, if you don't, do it in honor of the Lord, but that's the implication, because he says next, if you eat meat, do it in honor of the Lord. If you land here on the meat issue, do it in honor of the Lord. If you land here and abstain, do it in honor of the Lord. Okay? You disagree, that's fine. Do whatever you do, do it in honor of the Lord. Paul was fine that they landed on opposite places as long as they did what they were doing in honor of the Lord. And the same thing, I think, applies to the issues that we face today. If you decide to vote for Trump, be fully convinced that you're doing it in honor of the Lord. Have you, as you think about the upcoming election, or you have, like, I have my mail-in ballot in front of me, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, you should take that decision before the Lord. And whatever box you check, are you doing that in honor of the Lord? Okay? If you vote for Trump, be fully convinced that you're doing it in honor of the Lord. If you don't, be fully convinced that what you're doing is in honor of the Lord. If you wear a mask in certain situations, do it in honor of the Lord. If you choose not to, do it in honor of the Lord. It is a complicated issue. Like, it's an issue you can always talk about because it's so complicated. I was talking about it yesterday with some friends. It's like, next week we're going to talk about another set of instructions that is like, okay, how do you do the, like, it's complicated, all right? If you look at Romans 13 and what Romans 13 says, verses 1 through 7, and then you look at what Romans 14 says in verses 13 through the end, I've come into situations where I have to decide which one of these am I going to obey, because I can't obey them both right now. It's tough. It's complicated. Okay? But what we're talking about today is, if you wear a mask in certain situations, are you doing it in honor of the Lord? Do it in honor of the Lord. If you choose not to wear a mask, make sure you're making that choice in honor of the Lord, not just based on how you feel. None of us, he says, lives to himself. It's in verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Jesus didn't come to the cross and die and suffer and die for you just so that he'd be your Lord when you die. He's your Lord right now, and he wants you to bring your decisions before him. We must bring these decisions to the Lord and seek to proceed in a way that honors him. Did I get through all of them? No. I'm just going to mention, it gets kind of old, but the mask issue. When it comes to how you respond to the pandemic and how you respond to the racial issues that are tearing our nation apart, whatever you decide, do so in honor of the Lord. Okay? So in each of these decisions, ask yourself, what will honor the Lord most in this situation? We belong to Him. And in all these choices that come before us, we must bring them to Him and seek to proceed in a way that honors Him. That's the standard that God has given us. That's the biblical standard. Is this in honor of the Lord? And if we have that attitude toward ourselves and we take the decisions to the Lord ourselves, and if we have the attitude, that attitude toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, it opens the way then for there to be harmony in our relationships, even if we don't agree with one another. We may not agree with what the other person decides to do, but we're entrusting them to the Lord. We're not despising and passing judgment on one another for our differences. We're welcoming one another and encouraging one another to follow Jesus, our Lord. Okay, let Jesus be responsible for the choices that people make in these disputable matters, because He is responsible. He is Lord, and that's how Paul finishes this section, so verses 10 through 12. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. God is the one who sits on the judgment seat, not us. It is before Him that we stand or fall, and each of us will give an account to God. And therefore, we need to stop passing judgment on one another and despising one another. Instead, we need to examine our own hearts and decisions to be fully convinced in our own minds that we are doing what we're doing in honor of the Lord. So, what kind of messages are you posting on Facebook about your personal convictions? You can post messages on Facebook about your personal convictions, but be careful how you do that. Like, some of you are very careful. Like, I appreciate the way, because it's very intentional about the way that you post your convictions. How are you doing that? Look at what you're posting. Think about it before you post it. Are you casting judgment on anyone who disagrees with you? How are you communicating with people in general? Are you leaving room for them to make their own decisions before the Lord without condemning them? What's your attitude toward the people who have disagreed with you about these important issues? Okay, do you see despising or judging, passing judgment in your heart? Have your personal convictions become new biblical standards for everyone else to follow? I think Paul's just telling us to avoid that. He's bringing it up, saying, hey, this is what's going on. And so I'm trying to bring that up before us today. I hope the Lord just speaks to your heart through Scripture. And let's practice graciousness. Let's keep growing together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word today, this passage of Scripture that we can wrestle with and work through and pray through. And I just pray that you would illuminate our minds with your word today, that you would speak directly to our hearts and show us if we have strayed or veered off course in this area of our lives. I pray that you would help us to understand more fully and just grow in this area, that we'd be able to move further and further toward unity and harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree with us. Thank you that Scripture isn't silent on this subject, but we can actually see what you have to say and just unite your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.